Well, it is good to be with you today. We have to believe that God is at work and He's doing good things in our land. Despite what we see with our natural eye, we have to see with our spiritual eyes. We have to see what God is doing. And while we were just in the time of song and worship, God just told me to turn to this verse real quick. It's a good starting point, and it's Hebrews chapter 1. Just to give you a little bit of context of where we're going today, I was going to jump right into the Word. The interesting thing about Hebrews is it's the putting off of the old and the putting on of new. And Hebrews, after I share this little bit, I'm going to, excuse me, pray, and then we're going to get into some stuff. So we all know that when you hear, you see, therefore, it's for, you have to think to yourself, why is that therefore? It's therefore because he's trying to, the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, in light of everything I've said, and he says, therefore, since we are surrounded, and by the way, I'm reading out of the ESV, which is the English Standard Version, and there's some reasons, I will get into it as we share, why I like the ESV these days, and there's some reasons why I don't like the ESV. But he says this, he says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight, and this is where I don't like the ESV. It says, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then it goes on to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, or the author, or the founder and perfecter, different translations say it in a little different way, of our faith. And then it says, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to go back to the word sin. It says in my translation, which it's weak in, because it's not sin. Because then that's all inclusive. And what you have to understand is the writer of Hebrews, whoever that was, we're not totally sure who it is, he was trying to convey a message. He was trying to tell us something. And over the years, ministers have used this little phrase here, and sin, to begin to apply, even though we don't understand, it begins to apply the law or works or performance or something like that. And that's not what the writer is conveying here, because what it actually says in the original language is the sin. That's a huge difference. That is a huge difference because it's the sin. And it's familiar to every human being. People, when they see this portion of Scripture written, they think, okay, well, I shouldn't have took all the cookies, or I shouldn't have stole, or I shouldn't have. And we think, we make a mental list and we go, how do I perform better for God? And that's where we get caught in this, where he says, let us lay aside. And what is the sin? What is the sin that's familiar to every human being? Well, go back to the word therefore. Therefore, in light of everything that I said, so we can just go back to the previous chapter, which we call the Hall of Faith. So what is the sin that is trying to beset or trying to take advantage of every human being? Unbelief. That's what he's talking about. It's not your grocery list of sins. It's the unbelief that has the ability to grip each and every heart and take advantage of us. So it's the sin. I'm not the Mike. I'm Mike. It's the sin. It's giving us an understanding of this particular sin can take us off the path. This is the sin. This is the sin. Because if I go, I don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe that Jesus did what he said he did. How can I be saved? So it's unbelief that takes advantage of us. It's important. It's a very, very important for us to get this point. It's very important because this has nothing, well, it does. It has nothing to do with really what I wanted to share today. But God was speaking to me about this, and we need to get this point because it clings to us. It's always there because the enemy of our heart, the enemy of our life is trying to get us to compromise, water down, and just go along with whatever else is going on. And so the sin, which clings so closely, and that's why each and every one of these people, like if you just go to the Hall of Faith for a minute, which I'm not going to go there, Jethna is mentioned in there. He was foolish in what he did. He said, whatever comes out my door, I'll offer it to the Lord. And his daughter, whatever comes out my door first, in the book of Judges, whatever comes out my door, that will be an offering to the Lord if you give me a victory. And God gave him a victory. And now he was full. Yet he had faith to believe in God. So it's not our mental list. It's not what we think. Because if Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, what did we do in order to take on salvation? We believed. And there's a scholar that I listen to, and he likes to say it this way. He says, faith is you believe and you're loyal. You believe and you're loyal to that belief. That's the sin that is trying to take us away. That is the sin. Don't believe and don't be loyal. That's what the enemy of our soul is always trying to do. So if we believe and we're loyal, if we didn't earn salvation, if we didn't achieve salvation, if we didn't do something to make us saved, how can we do anything that would cause us to become unsaved if we continue to believe and be loyal? There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God other than quit believing and quit being loyal. That's it. And now for my message. In the book of Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's amazing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you're going to find this really profound. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 comes after 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and comes before 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Isn't that amazing? That's just profound. That's just earth-shattering. So, Father, this morning, as we begin to look at your word, as we begin to look at your word, I pray, God, in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, our Lord, our brother, that you would cause our eyes to be opened. You would cause our hearts to understand. You would cause our ears to be unclogged, Lord, that we could comprehend with all the saints what is the hope, what is the breadth, what is the length, and what is the width of that great love wherewith you first loved us. And Lord, every power, every spiritual wickedness, every principality, every dominion, everything that would try to disconnect us, try to to get in the middle of, try to confuse us. Lord, we stand in the authority where Christ said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. We stand in that authority and we tell them to back off right now. We speak to those things that they have no right here, because you are King and you are Lord and you are God of this gathering. And we thank you for that. And now that I got you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're not going to stay there long, but I want to make the point, and I know it seems silly, but it's after 13 or after chapter 12 and it's before chapter 14. What are these chapters all about in a nutshell? It's about functioning as a body. It's about functioning together. It's about the gifts and the appointment of gifts and the working of gifts and everything else. And then we have chapter 13, and right in, and let me just start here. Paul says this: if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, verse 1, out of the ESV again, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all I have and I deliver my body up to be burned, but I have not love, I've gained nothing. And then we know the famous verses. Every time we go to a wedding, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And now I pronounce you man and wife. Because we've taken this and we said, oh, that means for when a man and woman get married. No, that means for the body of Christ and how it functions together. We're not pushing ourselves up. We're not lifting ourselves up. We're not pushing ourselves forward. But we're working together because there's a common goal. There's a common good. And it's that Christ be glorified. That Christ be exalted. And Christ be magnified. And if Christ is exalted and Christ is magnified and Christ is lifted up, then the power of God is at work. I was talking with Kyle before the service, and we were just chatting about the different revivals that have come over the history of humanity since the birth of the church. And I can't remember the country. I was looking for it on the map in the back, and the country escaped me, and it was two women in their 80s that just asked God, and continually ask God and ask God and made petition on behalf of their country. It wasn't a large country. It was a smaller country. And they continued to cry out to God and ask God and ask God and ask God. And it got to the point where the churches got so full that they stopped having churches in the building, and they would set their chairs up on the streets and fill the streets up by 5 o'clock in the morning. Because the power of God was moving. That's the body of Christ at work. The body of Christ. Right now, we're the body of Christ here. We're the assembly. We're the called out ones. We're to love each other through the difficulties, through the struggles, through all of it. And so, just in a nutshell, Paul talks about the gifts in 12, and then he talks about them again in 14. But in sandwiched in between, he talks about how important love is. And it's not that warm, squishy, I love you, you love me, and we're all happy together. That's not the love he's talking about. He's talking about that committed love, When there's a struggle, when there's a difficulty, you're willing to get in there. You're willing to love that person. You're willing to walk with that person. That's the love he's talking about. Now, let's just go over to the book of Colossians. Because now I want to talk about how we do this individually. How does this function individually? And this is Colossians chapter 2. And Paul's writing, and I'm going to read a portion of Scripture, but I'm only going to share, talk to you on a couple of these verses, because it's unbelievable what Paul is trying to say here. Chapter 2, verse 1, For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the fullness, or all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith. Therefore, again, there's a therefore, and I know some translations will start with the as there. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by the philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. We all know that verse. So I just want to go back to verse 6, and we're just going to look at verse 6, 7, and 8 briefly. Well, maybe not briefly. It says, therefore, as some translation says, as you therefore receive Christ. Mine just happens to say it, therefore, as. Everybody has as. I know that. And that's a Greek word that means just as, or on the grounds of. In other words, Paul is saying, if you've received Christ, if you have, then I can speak to you. I can declare what I'm going to declare to you. I can make it bring you into understanding. So he's saying, on those grounds, as you received him, receive there, it means to receive by instruction, to receive something. We receive something. As we received it, it's a passive thing. It's been done to us. We received Christ. As we receive him, just as we're in the grounds of, just as we're in Christ, we receive this. He says, so walk in him. He's telling us, on the grounds of you see, receive Christ, on the grounds that you have taken this on to yourself, on the grounds that you have received this, you've gotten this instruction, so walk in it. Well, what does he mean, walk in what? Walk in this thing that he has given you. He's giving you Christ. You have been transformed. So walking in this is to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself. Now, again, the backdrop or the context of this is 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Paul's saying, if you receive Christ, your conduct has to line up to Christ. Not duty. Remember, I already talked about Hebrews chapter 12. It's not duty and earning. It's by faith. And if we understand that if we are Christ, the conduct of our life will flow. Our flesh wants to flow. Our flesh wants predominance. Our flesh wants to come out in front. But we submit ourselves because our conduct is pleasing to Him. To this word walk also means to live a life conformed to the union entered into with Christ. So we're walking out this union that we have with Christ. In again the context of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And maybe your pastor will teach that verse by verse and you'll have greater... But I challenge you to read that and meditate on it. And so here we have a passive thing to receive. We received it just as we're on the grounds of, again, this Greek word as. It's a passive thing. It's been done to us. It says to be to walk in Him, rooted. And think of a plant. What does a plant have when it's in the ground? It has roots. A tree has roots. Everybody was talking about the wind we had last night. Those trees that have strong roots and strong branches will bear the wind. Those that don't, I drive along Lake Erie a lot, the south side of Lake Erie, and there's what is known as the Canadian Shield, which is a lot of rock. There might be about this much dirt or so, and then it's rock. And so the roots, what happens is the roots just go out on the surface. And many times in these strong winds, I will see 7,500-foot evergreen trees or other big trees tipped right over. The whole root comes out of the ground, the person's front lawn, and everything comes up. Because they're not rooted. They're not in the soil. Paul's saying, in order to go through life, you have to be rooted in Him. You have to be grounded in Him. You have to have your roots going down deep, because there's all sorts of things that want to tip you over. Life wants to tip you over. He said, it also says this, to render firm, to fix, establish, cause a person or thing to be thoroughly grounded. We have to be grounded. So these things have been done to us. This is Christ working in us. And as we submit ourselves, and that's where that Hebrews 12, the sin. The sin is that we can't believe it's possible. And God says, I can do anything. If you will believe me, I can do this. And God can do it. And so he says these things, and he goes on to say, as you were taught, let me flip my note over. This is more in my spirit than anything. He says, verse 6, rooted and built up in Him. To build upon. To build up with the in fellowship with Christ. To grow in spiritual life. There we get on the phone. I'm involved in a couple of prayer calls. And we get on the phone regularly. And I'm admonishing and encouraging the people. And different phone calls I get on. I always say this. We should be different than we were last week. We should be changed, whether it's a little bit or not at all, a little bit or a great big bit, there should be a change. When the spring comes and the budding of the trees come, you don't look at the tree and go, well, maybe in July its leaves will come out. The leaves have to come out at a certain time. If the leaves don't come out on a tree at all, then you go, maybe that tree's dead. Maybe that tree's dead. Maybe the roots are bad and the tree, if the tree doesn't bud, there's no life in it. And so Paul is saying to the church at Colossae, you need to be in fellowship. Lost my place in my notes. In fellowship with Christ, grow into spiritual life. Now, let me just back up and say this. What was the context of Paul writing this? Was he writing this in 2024? Was he writing it when we had the automobile? Was he writing it when we had cell phones? When was he writing this to the church at Colossae? Well, Paul happened to be in prison. Paul happened to have been shipwrecked a few times. Paul happened to have been beaten. Paul happened to be stoned a few times. Paul happened to be in jail a number of times, and he's in jail now. And he's telling us these things. That's amazing. He's not saying this should happen if the circumstances are right. He's saying this should happen if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, as I said, just as on the grounds of if you're in Christ, these things should be happening in your life. So he says here, he goes on and he says, established in the faith. To make firm, establish, confirm, make sure. Causing us to be steadfast in our fellowship with Christ. Again, in context with 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Think about that for a moment. In context of that. Well, they don't understand me, and I don't like them, and they're nana poo-poo head. I don't want to be... But Paul's saying, you're a family. What is your... He's asking, and he's saying, what is your part? What are you doing? What's going on with you? He's addressing the church at Colossae, and he's saying, you need to be established. Therefore, as you receive Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in faith, just as you were taught. Just as you were taught. Just as you were instructed. Paul's saying, just as I taught you when I was there, just as others have come in and taught you, as you were instructed. Something that's absent from this is just as your feelings dictate to you. It doesn't say that. Just as you have an impression of. It doesn't say. It says as you were taught. As you were taught. Everybody's quiet this morning. Must be the snow outside. And then all of these things are passive. These things have been happening to, they're a passive thing Christ is doing, have done them to us. And then listen, and did you hear Carrie's prayer as they wrapped up this morning? I did. It says, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I heard the prayer of thanksgiving. I don't know if you heard it. I did. This is active. It moved from passive to active. This is something we do. Well, when my circumstances are right, when I get around the right group of people, I will thank you. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that. He's saying abounding. It's our job to abound in thanksgiving. It's the giving of thanks. It's the giving of praise to Him because He's worthy. Well, when one day when the circumstances are just right and everything's perfect, I'll thank God. Don't you find it amazing? Let me just, a little FYI. Isn't it amazing? And maybe this is happening to you. I see it happening in other people, and I'm praying that it's happening to you. Some of the most difficult circumstances you may have faced in recent time, and yet deep within you, there's this little resonation that says, but thanks be to God. God, you're good. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Isn't that starting to resonate out of you? That's because the Holy Spirit is at work in our land called Canada. I'm telling you. There's something going on. And so Paul is admonishing the people, you abound in thanksgiving. You give him praise. You give him honor. And then he says, and here's the warning. He says, verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive. See to it means beware. Pay attention. The sense of providing, take care. This that Christ is doing in you, somebody wants to take it from you. Somebody wants to arrest it from you. Like I said, the sin, Hebrews 12, verse 1, the sin, and that sin is unbelief. And then we have heard this over the years, Maureen and I. Maureen will be, she's on the phone a lot with different people, and she'll say, you need to pray and believe. And then they'll call back, I prayed, nothing happened. I prayed and nothing happened. And that's that beware. That's what Paul's saying. Beware. Beware. Pay attention. And this is another beware. And I'll just use it as a reference point. Beware you don't get caught like Miriam and Aaron got caught. You know what I'm talking about? They had something to bring to Moses, and they made it bigger than it should have been. So Paul says to them, see to it. That's what my version says. See to it that no one takes you captive. And it says, by the philosophy and empty deceit. By it, not by some philosopher. It's the empty talk. It's the philosophy that anything that can pull us away from abounding in Christ. Think about it for a moment. I've said this to Maureen over the years in different settings that I get into. You will hear this conversation. Yeah, I'm all, my old lady this. I just hate going home, my old lady. I will not partake of any of those types of conversations. Because those philosophy, that type of thing, will pull away and destroy, and you don't even realize. That's why Paul's saying, beware, pay attention. And it says, empty deceit. This empty, some translations say vain. And that's what it means. It really means devoid of the truth. Paul's warning them and saying, you may have started off, you may have gone down, but now your argument, you're into an arena where it's devoid of truth. And we were saying to the young fella out there this morning, Silas, he was asking us some questions. And I said, remember, the evil one always tells some of the truth, but it always gets twisted into a lie. And I said, you have to be very careful of that. And that's what Paul's saying here. Be careful. Pay attention. We have to be very careful, he's saying. And then he says, according to the human tradition. And that's what is delivered, the substance of the teaching. What is that? What are they teaching? What are they propagating? What are they spreading? What are they giving out, in a sense? Because if it's empty and it's vain and it's devoid of the truth, don't partake of it. Do not partake of it. It's going to get a little exciting in here in a moment. You guys are going to say, what happened to that conservative laid-back fella? So he says this. He goes on to say, see, no one takes you captive by the philosophies and empty deceit according to human traditions. And then he says, as he concludes this verse, according, now some of the translations will use rudimental. According to the elemental, my translation says, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Now this is where people will argue one way and the other way on this point here. Some will say that Paul was talking about the elemental spirit, because that's when you get to the rudimental things, it just means spirit. So mine's just being a little clearer on that point. I'll give the ESV credit for that one. So some scholars will go, well, Paul was talking about the sun, moon, and stars, the wind, the seasons, and those elemental spirits. I'm in a different camp. I'm in a totally different camp, and I'll get to why I am in a minute. But I honestly believe what Paul is talking about is the seducing unseen realm. The powers that are in around us all the time. Those powers did not magically appear in Matthew chapter 1. In other words, they didn't magically appear in the Gospels in the New Testament. Those powers have been around for a while. I submit to you in all humility, if you don't believe me, go to the book of Daniel, look up the story of Daniel when he's praying and fasting, and Gabriel says, oh, Daniel, highly favored, the Lord has sent me to you, but the prince of Persia has withstood me for 21 days. Well, who is that? That's not some human being withstanding the angel Gabriel. It isn't. It's some sort of spiritual being that has withstood that Michael had to come and fight on behalf of Gabriel to get Gabriel dispatched to Daniel to speak the word. So in other words, what are you saying? Well, I believe that there are elemental spirits, there are powers at work, and there are powers that work right in here in our gray matter to keep us restricted, hemmed in, and underneath where God wants us to be. And those powers, and I get really wound up about this. See, let me just do a little Christmas story for you for a moment. Jesus came as a baby. We all believe that, right? Right? We'd believe that. He came in the authority of heaven. He grew up. He became a rabbi. He taught his 12 and his 70s and the other followers for 3.5 years. He was crucified and he ascended into the depths of hell. And he stripped. If you don't believe me, go to Jude and go to Peter. Because it says, and they're in chains of gloomy darkness waiting for their judgment. He went down there. And I'll just put it in our modern vernacular. He said, hello, boys. The authority you stole from the humans, you'll find it in Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 6, and Genesis chapter 11. There are three rebellions in the Bible. Most Christians only know of the one in the Garden of Eden. There are three rebellions. Three. And that's how we get all these powers and principalities and everything else that's going on out there. And Jesus went there and he says, I got some news for you. I won. I won. I defeated the grave. I defeated all of the things of the flesh. I defeated it all. And I, one more thing, guys. You're staying put. I'm leaving. Then he said to his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 18, now listen to what he says, because he came with the power of heaven. He died and he collected the power of earth. And he said, all power, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given, not me, him, has been given to me. And he says to his disciples, now go, therefore, and make disciples. That's our mandate from the Lord. It has never changed. It never will change until he wraps everything up. That's the greatest weapon we can do, is make disciples. And oh God, that we make them not twice the son of hell that Jesus talks about. Remember when he said, you travel land and sea to make one proselyte and you make them twice the son of hell as you are? God has called us to live above these things because, this is what I believe, you skip down a few verses. Verse 15. And this is why I believe it's powers and it's ruling things. And I give the ESV credit on this verse. It says, he, who's he? Christ. Christ disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. He triumphed over them. Their strategy, if you get anything out of this message, their strategy is to get you to come back under them when they have no authority. They have none. And so they will use the things in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 to try to divide the body, to separate us, to single us out, to get us unrooted and ungrounded so that he can take advantage of us. And God said, I don't want my people taken advantage of because I have all authority. I have all rulership. I have all dominion over these things. Do they still stay in those places? Yeah, you bet they do. They're still there. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. They're still there. But they can't eat steak anymore. They're toothless. They can't. They can't eat. They can't do what they think they can do. They can manipulate us. They can lie to us. And they can con us. But if you stand your ground, that's why I was reading these three verses here. If you're rooted in him, you know who he is, you know the hope, you know you're established in him, you can say, leave me alone and shut up. Leave me alone and shut up. Yeah, but Pastor Kyle did this and he did that. Yeah, I know he did. And I'm just going to walk right up. Tell the spirits, tell these powers, shut up. I'm going to them. I'm going to talk to them one-on-one, find out what's going on. That's warfare, folks. That's warfare. See, we're looking, hey, did you hear so-and-so's in town? And woo, he's a mover and a shaker, and he does this, and he does. And as Christians, we all run up there, we flock there, woo! And then we wonder why it all settles out and dries down and we're just sort of, it's Christianity. It's really tough. Oh, man. I don't know if I can make another day. God, please come. Oh, God. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it, God. No. No, 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 no. Remember when they were going to push Jesus over the brow of the hill? He has walked through them. I got something to do. My Father has called me to do something, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Do you know the power that we walk in as believers? Remember, now this one's free. Remember when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter, James, and John were with them, and they had this glorious encounter. They saw Elijah and Moses. And Peter had that great remark, "Let us build three tabernacles. Oh, I'm in the flow. I got the Spirit. Oh, praise God." Remember that? And then they come down from the mountain. Oh, this gets good. You've heard this story 1,000 times, but I bet you haven't heard it like this. They come down that mountain, and Jesus asks them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they say, "Some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, some say this, some say this. But who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Remember that? We get all excited about that. I don't know if you ever watched that movie, Paul Blart, Mall Cop, when he does that with the sauce and it gets in his eye and he's standing there. And then somebody finally says, "Should have moved." Yeah, I guess I should have. That's the picture I get of Peter right there. "Wow, now I'm in. He said that flesh and blood. Oh, I need you." And then he goes, "I'm going to die." "Oh, no, you're not." Now, see, the elemental spirit's got a hold of him. And he's speaking against what the Christ said was going to happen. Because Christ wasn't saying it just for them. Do you know where they were? They were at the opening of Pan. They were at the base where in ancient times they believed the spirits came out of the ground at that point. What Christ was saying, if I can put it into our modern language, this is what he said. "Here I am, boys. Come get me." Because he knew the authority he was walking. And he knew for humanity, now get this, he knew for humanity's sake, they had to take him in order to get back the authority to give it to his people. You see why Hebrews 12 is so important about the sin now? It's to get us not to believe that Christ did all these things for us. If we understand this to the best of our ability, we can overcome anything that God puts in our way, even when it looks like there's no way through. You know, just got to share this point, and then I want Maureen to share one little thing that she keeps getting a vision of. She said she shared it maybe another time. And this is Paul again. You don't have to turn there. You can trust me. I'm reading the Bible. Maybe not your translation, but I am reading the Bible. This is verse 12. It's out of Romans chapter 1. Most of us know Romans 1. It's God giving them over, God giving them up, God this, God that, and then they had a reprobate mind. But here's Paul. Never been to there. Never been to Rome yet. I'll start in verse 11. "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." When your pastor stands up week after week, he's looking for a mutual. He's not looking for this. He's looking for mutual faith because he has to be encouraged too. And so if you come up and you go, "Oh, Pastor, when you shared that today, I was reading earlier today and God just spoke in my spirit. I'm so excited. It's almost word for word." That's you mutually strengthening one another. See, as we do these things, the enemy doesn't get the advantage. Because as much as we pretend that this doesn't exist, it exists. This, in this realm, exists. We are the watchmen. I say this to a lot of people. We're the watchmen. Telling them, no, you can't. You cannot breach this realm. This is our territory. This is where we exist. You cannot manipulate the human. See, if we got this, instead of complaining about the government, what the government's doing or not doing, or, you know, we need to get so-and-so out. This is what I hate about Canadian elections. We're always voting someone out. We're never voting someone in. We're always voting them out. And then, oh, well, we're going to be okay now. No, we're not. Because our salvation comes from Him. But if we were, instead of what we see going on in the natural realm, if we really believe this, if we really stood in our place, we can say to those powers, you have no jurisdictional authority. You have no right. You have no place here. And I don't care if 99 other people are giving you jurisdictional authority and jurisdictional right. I'm standing here saying you have no right in the name of Jesus Christ. Then another one gathers, and another one, and another one, and another one. And then God's got this army. And then the powers are saying, I can't do anything. I'm not allowed to. There's a fellow that's an ex-Satanist that Maureen listens to quite a bit. You know what he says? We used to... What's the word when he goes out of his body? What's that called? He astro traveled into neighborhoods and put curses on people. And he said, every time I got to a neighborhood that somebody was praying there, I was shut right down. I couldn't do anything. And he goes on and on with the fact that Christians, he gets a lot mean. He goes, I used to go to witchcraft church or Satan church from 7 at night to 7 in the morning, and then I went to work all day. And we learned curses and hexes, and we put them spells on people, and we destroyed people. And he said, the easy picking ones, this is his words, the easy picking ones were the compromising Christians. Those were the easy, and he said, every time I got into a neighborhood or a church or an area where they were praying, we got stopped immediately. Couldn't go, couldn't penetrate. What happens if we began, instead of criticizing each other, we said, I don't understand what your idea in doing that at this particular moment, but you know what? You're my brother, you're my sister, I'm going to link arms, we're going to pray, we're going to believe God, we're going to trust Him, and we will see God do what He wants to do. You know, I love following the Chinese church. For a little while, they lifted the oppression off the Chinese church. You know what happened? They started fighting amongst themselves. They started bickering and backbiting and complaining and everything. The pressure came back. They can have a meeting. And now, I know their population's bigger than ours and all of this other stuff, blah, 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 blah. But they have a meeting. Now, you figure this out. Their cell phones are being monitored, their computers are being monitored, they're being face identified, but somehow 7,000 to 10,000 of them can show up in an underground church, 3,000 or 4,000 non-saved people, and they get converted. And there's nobody saying, hey, you're coming to the meeting, I'm coming to the meeting, you come to me, I'm coming to the meeting, you come to the meeting, I'm coming to the meeting. The Holy Ghost is at work. The Holy Ghost, what I'm trying to say is the Holy Ghost wants to work in Canada. We have to understand our jurisdictional authority. I'm not going to step over and astro travel and go into the other side. I'm not called there. We're not called there. That's not, I don't care what people say out there. That is forbidden territory. But we have every right to stand our ground here and say no. But the subtlety of the enemy is to come in and bring some form of contention and division. And we need to be mature believers now and say, you want to turn, you want me to manipulate this to turn it against Ryan. Trying to find a name. I was going to say John, but I said Ryan. I'm going to turn to Ryan this, Ryan that, Ryan. And then we don't realize what we've done is we're just going down, 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 down. But if we would go, I don't know, I'm not totally sure, I don't understand what's going on there, but you're not moving me. I'm staying right here. I'm staying in my place. I'm not moving to the left. Sorry, to the right or to the left. I'm staying right here. I don't care what hell you throw at me. I don't care what storm beats. I'm rooted on the rock and I'm standing here. I don't care. But everybody else is. Everybody else, I don't care. Look at Daniel. Everybody, when the music was played, da-da-da. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Praying three times a day, the only thing they could find fault with them was praying. Isn't it amazing? Right now, today, right now, if you're praying in your mind, you can be arrested in England. You know what I say to that? Instead of going, oh man, oh crap, oh, we're in trouble. You know what I say? Praise God. That's how upset they are. Not the people, the spirits. Because we're becoming aware. We're beginning to pay attention. We're beginning to see into that realm that God has told us to see into. We're not supposed to desire to be there. We're supposed to say no. You're not bridging anymore. You're not breaking this barrier. We're the watchmen. We're called here at this particular historical time on planet Earth. We're alive for a reason. And that's what Paul is saying. You're grounded in this, abound in thanksgiving. That you have been blessed with this privilege, blessed with this opportunity, blessed with all of this by the grace of God. Yeah, but nobody understands me. God does. Maureen, come share your vision that you keep getting when you come here.
Is it a... We can just stand together. That's quite all right. Yeah, you know, it's coming out of agreement with the elemental spirits and the things that Mike was reading there in that verse. It's coming out of agreement with those things, even when in the natural it looks correct. And if we can think about, I'm going to take myself out of my placement in Christ, when I come into agreement with this murmuring and complaining and not abounding in thanksgiving, what am I doing? Man, I want authority. I want to stay in Christ. If we can think that way, we might take a second thought about coming into agreement with other things that are being said. And so I was sharing it in the prayer room there. I've seen it in two different ways. This picture, when I come here, when I've been praying for you, is the first time I saw it, I saw God stirring up and doing something in here, in this body. And then I just saw almost like a multiplication of people as it was outside the building. So it was like I could see all of you as a congregation. But as God stirred and did something, it was like I saw all these people coming out, but it was way more people coming out than there were in the room. It was like this multiplication as the focus went out. And then another time when I was praying for you, I just saw these rivers of living water pouring in, and they just grew and multiplied and went out. And so I just really believe that you guys are set for what God wants to do here. Don't let yourself get distracted by elemental spirits saying something else or distracting.
Don't let the wind blow you over. Don't let these things be rooted in Him. And this morning, Father, we thank You and we praise You for this day. We thank You that we are alive at this time. Lord, that woulda, shoulda, coulda, all of those arguments, all of those things that argue in our mind are underneath You, and we put them underneath the authority, the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ. We thank You and we praise You, O God, that You are at work. You are doing a good thing. You are working a work that is beyond our understanding. What You are doing in this hour, O God, we reach out to You and we take a hold of it. We thank You and we praise You in Your holy name. We thank You, God, that, Lord, the sin that so easily tries to beset us is the sin of unbelief. Lord, even as the man said when he came to You, he said, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me get past these things. And Lord, You will. And Lord, this isn't us earning brownie points. This is because of the work that You have done. We can conduct ourselves. We can live our lives like this. We're not scoring points. What we are doing is, it is an expression. Our life flowing out is an expression of our belief and our loyalty in You. Lord, You didn't say, when You do all these things, then I'll like You. When You do these things, maybe I'll even like You more. And when You do these things, I might even bring it to love. You said, well, we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And we thank You and we praise You for that. Father, we pray that You would be glorified in all things. In Your name, amen. God bless. I don't know if anybody, if you guys do prayer or you want prayer or anything like that, you guys do what you normally do.